VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee. He got to turn up a little bit, but he's back. He's almost back. Sort of back. Back, but not back enough.
I think, whatever. There we go. I'm back.
You're
now.
Much better. Yes.
Yeah.
He's
my mic cooking. My mic was not hot.
He is tanned and rested and ready to go.
Absolutely.
A couple weeks in Costa Rica sun and some surfing and goofing off and so on. Can't be too bad for you, right?
It was hard to come back.
I bet it was. Yeah, for me, it'd be hard to get there. Probably easier to come back.
It was also hard to get there, but once you're there, it's really fun.
Well, has it occurred to you that there are places around here that have water that you can surf in that are a lot closer?
Not really. Not surf like that.
Well, see, now you're getting qualitative on me. Oh, gosh. This is an incredible. Another half a year has gone by. I don't believe it is closer to next Christmas than last Christmas. Mm-hmm. That's how I always divide the year. I don't know where it goes, but it certainly does seem to go there quickly. I had another birthday since last we talked, and we'll skip right over that topic real quickly, I'd say. Anyway, lines are open, 904-222-TALK. That's 222-8255. And as you all know, that lines are always open and the callers always go to the head of the line. We've got some 4th of July trivia, a whole bunch of stories, but I want to remind everybody that, yes, we are live as always. Not all financial shows are done live. You can't control the editorial content of the show if it's not live, and you can't control this one unless you call us.
So call us.
Pick up the phone, 904-222-8255. We're going to talk a bit about the market this week, probably a bit more than we usually do, because, wow, it was weird.
Yeah.
Ever since, well, it was not really the 5 days this week. It was really the 6 days. Actually, it was the 7 days, if you look at it, that ended on Friday. Charles Payne from the Fox Business called the Brexit reaction the new flash crash, which I thought was very clever, because it's pretty much what happened. And for those of you who don't remember the flash crash, it was on May 6, 2010, when in 20 minutes the Dow dropped about 600 points, and then the next 20 minutes it got most of them back. And it happened that day that I was at home with the TV on, and I saw this thing start to happen, and it kept going down, and it was literally in free fall. So I told Sarah, watch, there's a number out there, and when the computers hit that number, you're going to see it reverse right away, because they're going to start buying on the automatics. These are the automated robo-type buyers and sellers that control the swings in the market more than the level of the market. And sure enough, it got down then. There was a magic number, and boom, up it went. That one was studied for a long, long time by a lot of people, and there were so many lame excuses given for it that I couldn't even begin to give them all to you. Some guy added a wrong zero in Chicago or something like that. It's all a bunch of nonsense. To me, it's one of those things that's always going to go untold. I don't know that we'll ever get to the bottom of it. This was not that, although it was a very clever analogy, I thought. So tell us what happened and how the heck did we get here?
Well, I think it's safe to say that this could be one of the craziest years in the markets on record. It's just been wild, and this week was absolutely no exception. Yeah, so the last 3 days of June pretty much erased the losses that we saw last Friday and Monday, with the market rebounding around 4.5% in just 3 days. Now, that is a historic rise, I would say. It just doesn't ever rebound that quickly. It goes down that quickly, but it doesn't come up that quickly. So what we saw in the last 3 days was nothing short of just craziness. It's the funny thing is, though, it's kind of the norm for this year. I mean, we've seen several big drops. Well, not this year, but the last 12 months. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we've seen several big drops like that. And what has happened? All what, three times now. It's just completely reversed course. If you remember, in early February, we were way, way down in the markets. And by the end of the first quarter, we were back to where we started. And
last August was a terrible one.
Yep. And then, yeah, it's just been, it's been nuts. So
everybody hates this market. That's the problem.
They do.
And they can't tell you why exactly.
Well, I think everyone's just looking for the next big thing that's going to cause the big drop, because we've seen so many of those in the last 20 years, and everyone is keeping an eye out, and any piece of economic news that comes out that could potentially be that, it's sell, sell, sell. And then when they realize it's not that, it's, oh, wait, buy, buy, buy.
Yeah, a lot of it's on the 24/7 media plus the internet too.
Yeah, that we harp on that constantly on the show, and that's not going to stop. That has absolutely changed the way that the markets react to things, just the constant just information flow that comes out of Fox and CNN and all the business channels. It's just too much, really. And people put too much stock in it as well, for lack of a better word.
No pun intended.
Yeah. So for the week, the Dow, the NASDAQ, and the S&P posted gains of 3.2% or higher. And for the year, the Dow and the S&P are almost up 3%, while the NASDAQ is still just a little bit negative at 2.9, down 2.9%. Historically, when the markets rally in the last days of June, it has been a pretty bullish signal for the rest of the year, with the average gain coming in around 7%. We're not saying that that's going to happen this year, but that is what happened in the past when the markets have rallied right through midway of the year. We didn't know how far stocks would drop this year due to the Brexit vote, and we didn't know how quickly they would recover. But we did view this downturn as a big buying opportunity. And we actually sent out an email last Friday to our newsletter subscribers, and it saying basically don't panic, because here's what's happening. The futures are way down. It's going to drop, but we don't think this is the big event. I want to read the content of that email just so you can know what kind of things we do email out to our subscribers. And we promise we won't flood your inbox with emails. We email on average about once a month, maybe twice, but not more than that.
It's not on a schedule. It's no. Whenever we feel like there's something to say.
Exactly.
Take a second off, because we have Captain Dave on the line, and we always like to go to the head of the line. Happy Independence Day, Captain Dave.
Well, happy Independence Day to you, Steve. Oh, you too, Adam.
Thanks. You too.
You know, it's funny. If you go from last Wednesday to this Friday, I'm actually up about 20 basis points. And Steve, you know my portfolio. I'm
90%,
60% in cash.
Right.
And then the rest of it's Gabelli and Oak Market, like that.
Mm-hmm.
But and our one little play around with stock that's been so good.
Right.
But I think what I don't know if you can even use, you know, I'm sort of a student a little bit, not of the stock market, but just of humans. I think social media has completely altered how the market works. You know, if you think back 50 years ago, before computers, your stockbroker had a ticker.
Yep.
Piece of tape came out of it.
Showing your age there, boy.
Yeah. But nobody knew. I mean, first of all, there weren't that many people in the market. There weren't as many markets. And it was a very small group of people. Now, with social media and so much invested, I mean, the chance for mass hysteria or mass euphoria, I think, is multiplied. You know, Steve, I've talked to you about Marshall McLuhan's book, The Media's Message.
Sure.
And that's exactly what I think happens now. I think historical data of what the market does on any given month or historically, a lot of that could be thrown out the window, because the neural net has just become so much bigger and so much faster.
Dave, can I put you on hold through the break? Can you hold?
Sure.
It's a hard break and I can't control it. Thank you. All right, we'll be back right after the break, and we'll finish up with Captain Dave. I'll give you the trivia question and all that other good stuff. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we'll get right back to Captain Dave here in a second, but I want to give out the trivia question sponsored by Ken Bales of First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. Little Independence Day trivia here. How many U.S. presidents died on the 4th of July? How about that? That said, Captain Dave.
Yeah, I think it's two.
You are close, but no cigar.
I knew it was Jefferson and Adams.
And not only that, they died on the exact same 4th of July.
Yeah, and it was funny because I think it was Adams on his deathbed said it was, he didn't know Jefferson had died an hour before.
Right.
And he said Jefferson, because they were mortal enemies.
Oh, yeah.
He said Jefferson outlived me or something like that.
Yeah, anybody thinks that the rancor in politics today is brand new ought to go back and read those stories, huh?
Yes, sir. Adams and Jefferson didn't like, well, actually, Adams' wife really hated Jefferson. And, you know, because Jefferson was kind of a reprobate in many ways.
Well, there's that.
He's a brilliant man, but he did some stuff.
Mm-hmm. We're
anyway,
talking to the...
I was drawing the idea out that we really are in new uncharted territory in the whole world, because everything's so connected, and we got bots, you know, computer bots you're talking about that control the trades. And I think these algorithms, you know, look, I read computer programs, or I used to. They're not always, you know, perfect. They're still written by humans. And somebody's got to put the bottom in, and somebody's got to put the top in.
Yep.
And they take all these variables. But the network is so big now. I mean, the variables in terms of what's going to happen went from, you know, it's probably now cubed. It's just exponentially larger, and as the variables grow, the algorithms can't keep up, I think.
Adam and I were talking over the break, and we narrowed it down to its what I think is the least common denominator, that being the internet. It's the ready availability of the internet in everybody's home and on your telephone and everything else. As you said, this quantity of information has gone crazy.
Yeah, and so consequently, I think we're in a world in which the Chinese curse may live in interesting times,
right? Mm-hmm.
And I think that's right where we are. But on the other hand, a nice little allocation model. And for me, it's real simple. I got some utilities, as you know. I got some mid caps. I got some big caps, and I got one I play with. And I stay at least 60% in cash and take my hits and take my 1% and go home. But I'm up almost 7% for the year in my investments.
Nice.
And I'm up almost 4% in my total portfolio.
Not bad, is it?
No, it's all right. Yeah, but when you sent out the newsletter, I wasn't going to sell anything. It doesn't make any sense. You don't sell at the bottom. And the thing is, I am prepared to say, all right, if the market takes a 20% hit, that for me is going to be a 10% hit, and that's not the end of the world.
You know, I had a couple of phone calls during that time, and they were the kind of phone calls that weren't saying, do something for me. They were saying, man, I'll bet your phone's ringing off the wall. And I said, well, not really. Uh-uh. I did have a couple inquiries. What should we buy?
Yeah.
What that tells me? We've got a well-trained clientele.
Yeah.
Very well-trained.
Because that's the right way to look at it.
I said the same thing. You know, I got a little bit of IBB to back up my that other thing. And IBB, you could have done real well with.
Yeah.
It was up 541 yesterday.
I get dizzy watching it.
Yeah, it's very volatile. And it's down right now. But I actually doubled down on it recently because it is a lot lower than it was last year.
Well, there's no better source of ingenuity than in the biotechs.
I'm not surprised about TIPS, and I'm not surprised about S-TIPS, and I'm not surprised about gold either.
No, I'm not either. Adam's going to talk a little bit about the commodities here. I asked him during the break when you were holding if he saw what TIPS were going to do this month. You know, they didn't pay for about 8 months, and then they paid 3 cents last month. They're paying 51 cents this month. Biggest payout for TIPS in two solid years. And it's happening now. And all that means, folks, if you don't follow TIPS, or Treasury Inflation Protected Bonds issued by the government, it means interest rates are rising and inflation is rising. That's also why your commodities are doing a lot better. And I mentioned last week, if you don't have a little allocation in commodities, A, it's not too late, and two, get on it.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing is there is an end to this thing. I read somewhere,
Which thing are you talking about?
Well, the end of monetary, the complete breakdown in monetary.
Oh, sure.
The world as a whole owes more money than the world's gross product.
I'll take it one step further than that. America owes more money than the world is worth.
Yeah.
If you count the unfunded liabilities.
Well, if you follow Jewish history, not is the most important thing in the world, but a jubilee was when the word jubilee comes from jubal, and it was once every, I think it was 50 years, all debt was automatically forgiven. Because debt, when debt gets so big that it can never be repaid, it becomes valueless.
I have said for years that that's one of the possibilities. There's only three ways out of debt. One of them is to spend less than you take in, and that's never going to happen in our country.
Right.
Another one is default, and the other one is you just swap them back and forth. You owe me money, yeah, I owe you money, we cancel it. That's it.
If you look at Kuroda and Li Xiaoxuan or whatever he is in China, these guys are printing money as fast as they can, and it's not doing a thing.
Nope, you're absolutely right.
Yep. Absolutely. That whole inflation business of let's roll the presses is not working anymore.
Because there's no volume to the money. There's no velocity to the money.
Yeah, right. It's not going anywhere. Right. All right, you have a great 4th of July. Stay out of the way.
Thank you, you too.
Rockets, and have one for me.
I will most and certainly do that. Thank you very much.
All right, Steve.
Megan, good morning.
Hey, how are you? Welcome back, Adam.
Thank you very much. It's sort of good to be back.
This would be a Megan that we know, I think.
So I wanted to answer the trivia question.
Well, take a shot.
Three U.S. presidents.
You are absolutely right. It was three. Who was the third one?
James Moore.
And it was how many years later? Do you know that?
5 years after the two of them died, Thomas Jefferson and John Adams.
Good for you. Now, you want to do the secondary question, which is not worth anything?
Sure.
Why are only 38 presidential deaths recorded in the official records?
The others died in office?
No, the others are still alive. Okay. I was just hoping something would come up for that one. Good job, Megan. Somebody with a fast internet connection, right?
No, she's just that smart.
Or a good history class.
Well, you will get the Publix card when you show up for work on Tuesday. That way, save 47 cents, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, great. I appreciate it. Hey, what are you guys up to this weekend? You having some cookouts and stuff?
I don't know. I kind of sprained my ankle yesterday, so
you did.
I'm being taken care of. Yeah.
Well, put some ice on it and grab something cold and take it easy.
Yep.
Thanks for calling. We'll see you soon.
See ya. Bye.
Megan is our intern for the summer, second time that she's been around. And a couple weeks ago, those of you who are regular listeners might have heard her on the show bringing us the millennial viewpoint that I really liked.
And we posted that article she wrote on our blog, too, if you want to check it out.
Absolutely.
It's very well written.
Why don't you tell the folks how to get a hold of us if they're interested in what we do when it's not Saturday?
Sure. If you want to find our blog, it's on our website at www.vanweefinancial.com. If you need to know how to spell Van Wee, it's VanWie. Or for those in the military, Victor Alpha November Whiskey India Echo. We also have an office that we conduct our business in. It's out at the beach. You can reach us at 904-685-1505. It's very convenient, right off of Butler Boulevard, so you can get there from any point in town relatively quickly. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/VanWeeFinancial and Twitter at VanWeeFinancial. And if you ever want to email us a question instead of calling it in, just email info@VanWeeFinancial.com.
I have a question for investors everywhere out there. How did you fare the last seven business days? Would you hire yourself as your own investment advisor? If the answer to that is or no, you might want to call us at the office one of these days.
Yeah. Once again, 904-685-1505, or you can actually book a meeting with us right on our website or Facebook page.
There you go. I'm not sure we'll get through this, but Adam wanted to read the newsletter we sent out. We'll at least get it started, and if we have to, we'll pick it up after the break.
Yeah, this just gives you an idea of the kind of things that we email about. And the email reads, Dear so-and-so, in my case, Dear Adam, last night, the citizens of Great Britain chose to exit the European Union, the EU. Regardless of your personal feelings and expectations, our markets were surprised. We were neither. On Thursday, many people were expecting a no vote on the Brexit, and the market had a very good day. Today, they are surprised and disappointed, and the futures are way down. They are, however, down a lot less than shortly after the announcement was made. What should we do? Absolutely nothing is our suggestion. The situation is temporary, and the market will soon recognize that. Whether it takes a half day, one day, or a week, it is nothing to spend much time worrying about. And basically, we said, just hold tight. And I think it was pretty good advice.
And have a nice weekend. It's very often the single hardest thing that we do in our business to look at the situation that's right in front of all of us and say, the worst mistake that you could make is to do something. I wish Congress would get that through their heads sometimes. They have this irresistible urge to, quote, do something, and it's usually wrong. All right, we got to take a break, and we'll be back right afterwards. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Van Wee Financial. Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And hopefully we've got a word or two from someone we all like.
Let freedom ring.
Nice.
Let the white doves sing. Let the whole world know that today is the day of the reckoning.
Martina. There's no better patriotic music that I've ever heard. If you want something uplifting. She did very well with that, I'm sure.
Yeah, that was a big hit.
Must be nice to have that kind of talent.
I wouldn't know.
Me neither. Yeah, we won't go there. All right, this segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. I see that guy around my house all the time.
He's actually at my house right now, I think.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, things are growing. I said this a couple weeks ago. I don't think I've ever seen a growing season like this. It's hot out, so if you guys are tired of keeping it looking good yourself, call Troy at 662-9794. Why not farm it out, I say. Let's see. Adam wanted to finish up a little bit on what we wrote for the newsletter, and then we got a few other goodies to do. So I'm going to tell you about some 4th of July specials, and I got a word about the Humane Society, but let's wrap that up.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know, if you were interested in signing up for the newsletter, you can do that on our website. It's right at the, if you scroll down right from the main page, it's one of the first things you'll see on our site. All we need is your name and your email address. We promise we will never share that with anyone.
Right.
It is ours for our distribution only. So if you'd like to do that, go ahead and sign up and you can get that information like what I read before. And we promise we will not flood your inbox with anything but useful information. And so I also wanted to touch on a couple of other things. One interesting thing was that the U.S. market was not the only one to rebound this week. I don't know if you notice it, but the FTSE 100, which is sort of like the S&P 500 for the U.K., is actually up almost 4% since last Thursday.
Funny what happens when they think about the results of something instead of just reacting to it.
Yeah, the currency didn't fare as well, but the markets certainly did pretty well.
Yeah, anybody who exports anything from England is going to be happy as a clam.
No doubt. Their manufacturers are probably jumping for joy right now. In the commodities markets, gold and silver had a solid week. The ETF GLD climbed almost 2%. Silver, however, did even better. The ETF SLV climbed almost 11% this week. So
try to get the smile off my face.
Oil initially dropped due to the Brexit vote, but the ETF USO, which tracks the price of oil, ended the week climbing over 3%. It didn't quite get back to its pre-Brexit levels, even though we had a really large drawdown this week in inventories, double what was expected. And this week is one of the busiest driving weeks of the year. So it'll be interesting to see what happens next week.
It will indeed.
And lastly, the economic data was not so good this week. 16 of the 27 indicators missed.
Ouch. Stunk up the place.
Yeah. Next week has 24 reports released. So the short week doesn't lack for data. So that could play into how the markets go next week. One of the positive reports this week was the first quarter GDP being revised up from 0.5 to 1.1.
I'm completely and utterly underwhelmed.
Yeah, it's still not a great number, but Q2 is looking pretty good. So
a little bit.
I'm a little optimistic on that front.
We'll see what the jobs reports come out with later this week, because last time was pretty pathetic.
It was, well, I think that's an understatement. It was horrible.
Yeah.
But hopefully it was an anomaly, and we'll see next, Wednesday or Thursday?
Yeah. Pardon?
Wednesday or Thursday next week that'll come out.
Well, it'll probably start either Wednesday or Thursday with ADP, and then go to Friday for the government. All right, I've been talking about the Humane Society's big project for the last month or so, and I'm going to drop that after today, but I want to remind you again that all contributions to the big building project at the Humane Society are being matched through the generosity of the Stein family. So if you want your money to go twice as far, go on out there and take a look. Now, there's an adoption program this weekend through Monday, I believe it is, where if you dress patriotically, which can mean red, white, and blue, or if you want to pull out your old-fashioned shoes and your waistcoat and your tall socks and all that, maybe go as George Washington crossing the Delaware.
Now, we're in Jacksonville, so would a Leonard Skinner shirt work?
Yeah, I
right.
think.
All right.
Or go out there and Al in the next room is going crazy. Yeah, a real fan. Anyway, go out there. You probably know the place. It's to the west of Southside on Beach. And real easy to find. It is a humongous project. Go see the folks. There's also at the PetSmart, I believe, at the town center this weekend, there's a free kitten adoption going on that they're sponsoring. And you will have to buy licenses, things like that, for the animals just to satisfy the county. And you have to have a cage for a cat and or a leash or collar for a dog. But you can buy them there if you don't own one.
Nice.
So, go out and save some animals. The last big adoption weekend they had, 233 pets were saved. Let's build this puppy, folks. Independence Day. Winn-Dixie is sponsoring a drive to help out the, it's the Hope for Warriors Day. And my favorite cheapskate in the world, besides me, Clark Howard, has a whole list of places that are having 4th of July specials. Check out some of these stores and their deals. You can find this at deals.clark.com. Ace Hardware has a whole bunch of things on sale. Best Buy, up to 45% on appliances. There is BrandSmart USA, big TVs and so on. Discount Tire Direct, Fry's Electronics, Home Depot. Great weekend to buy appliances, folks. H.H. Gregg, Lowe's, and Sears, all those places, they're particularly honing in on the big ticket items like the appliances. It's easier to save more money by buying something that's bigger and more expensive.
That is true. Mm-hmm. Those are all great deals, and I hope you take advantage of them, but I can tell you where you won't find me this weekend, and that is in a retail store.
I'll be right there next to you.
Yeah, forget outside
it. Outside of those places.
The crowds.
Not to say you guys shouldn't do it.
Probably going to be out.
Yeah. All right, let me get this straight. After hundreds of years of independent worldwide influence, spreading the precepts of democratic rule, thus decreasing the power of the monarchy while increasing the role of the average citizens in their own outcomes, and all the while learning the lessons of a free and independent people, the powers that be in the United Kingdom entered into a 1973 agreement to share the wealth so created with a number of countries on the continent. Though well-intentioned, over time, British sovereignty was ceded to unelected power brokers in Belgium. And I point out that, yes, most of them were elected, but it was not all by Britain, who were so in fear of the people of France and other member states that they had to hold occasional meetings in other countries, perhaps as a showing that they really care. Along the way, imposed on the citizens of the UK were regulations about the straightness of bananas, the power of vacuum cleaners, the names of jellies and jams, and a host of other intrusive policies and regulations. But none were so intolerable as the mandate from the powers that be to bring tens of thousands of immigrants into their country without so much as a reasonable background check. What could possibly go wrong? Like the legendary frog in the cold water on the stove, the heat increased so slowly that changes were barely noticed. Like the probable fate of the frog, the society, as the citizens knew it, was nearing a painful death. I don't know if the frog in the legend escaped with its life, but it appears that UK, at least part of it, may do just that. The solution? Passage of Brexit, the June 2016 vote to separate England from the EU. The majority decision to sever ties with the European Union after 43 years is indicative of the frustration of the average citizens who were feeling the water approaching the boil. Brexit reactions in the UK range from overwhelming joy in the populace to fear, loathing, and retaliation among the powerful leadership. Every day since, more loud and powerful voices are calling for a revote. Not a recount, a revote. They knew they lost to the majority will. The arrogance among those who know better what is good for the people is visible and intolerable. So much contempt do these elitists have for the average citizen that their leader, Prime Minister David Cameron, resigned in disgust at the outward display of free will shown at the ballot box. All he had to do was his job, lead the country back to independent status. But no, he resigned in disgust so he wouldn't have to set his citizens free. Frankly, I thought we all taught them a lesson in 1776. Doesn't this seem like a good weekend to remind them of that? I'm going to wrap this up with a couple comments right after the break, but there is a side of me now that is not going to hold back a little bit on the parallels to us. And yes, I know it's financial, and I will wrap this all up into the financial package that it is, and we'll talk about some bad boys and things like that right after the break. Adam's got some inquiries from listeners. We got a whole bunch more to do than there is time to do it, so don't go anywhere. Won't miss anything. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are in the final segment. However that happened, I don't know, but I'm going to wrap up a comment or two here. Back to the States with regard to the Brexit vote. Our fearless leaders agree with Cameron. They are on the side of big government. The British subjects demanded freedom to eat curved bananas, run powerful vacuum cleaners, eat jellies and jams with too much or too little sugar, and to decouple from the international leaders who now call the very English language illegitimate. British do speak English a little differently than we do. I'll give them that. But I think the English language is quite legitimate. Take a plane flight to any airport anywhere in the world and see what language gets your plane on the ground without incident. Without that, I think we'd have some trouble. Drawing the parallel to the U.S., the discontent, malcontent in this country has resulted in Trump doing what everyone said was impossible, getting enough pledged delegates to actually get the nomination. Now those powers that be in the Republican Party are trying to overrule that. And if they do, I promise you all one thing. I will march immediately down to the voting registration office, and I will drop my years and years old Republican voter registration and put a big capital I for independent in that column, and I hope you would all follow. Ours is a financial show. Our business is about things financial. Believe me when I tell you this is a financial topic. Americans are fighting a plethora of financial problems, from stagnant wages to tragic job losses. We are taxed heavier than the citizens and corporations of any other country. Yet our infrastructure is falling apart and Johnny can't read. And worst of all, we're nearing $20 trillion in debt, which grows at an unsustainable pace. Remember, anything that is not sustainable will stop. It's only a question of time. Can we be saved the fate of bankruptcy and servitude? Perhaps. I wish I were more certain. The only situation that's unacceptable is the status quo. Yet the powerful, whom we have dubbed the establishment, do not want and will not willingly accept change. Real change, not the sloganeering of 2008. That's the only way out. It's up to us and only to us. Make noise. The noise of paper rustling through vote counting machines. It took every one of the 72% of England's registered voters to achieve their victory. Will we get sufficient turnout? Stay tuned. A full text of my comments will be posted on the website in our blog section within a couple of days. Adam.
All right. We had an email from a listener with a question, and it came from Carlos. It was a really good question. Carlos is an amateur investor, and he bought into a small business a few years ago during a venture capital A seed round, which means he got in very early, which is carries with it a lot of risk, but the potential for reward is great. And
those two are somehow related.
Yep. And in this case, this microbrewery has done extremely well, and his investment has grown to a point where the company is now paying him dividends on the investment. His question was how these dividends would be taxed. Are they taxed as ordinary income, or are they taxed as capital gains?
Well, the normal answer to that would be real easy, but the circumstance is a little bit different.
It is. On a normal investment that you hold for a certain period of time, those dividends would be qualified and be taxed as capital gains. But in this case, I wasn't sure, so I had to ask around. I actually asked a couple of CPAs. We are not CPAs.
Good, right?
So
we would always ask you to do that.
Right. So I do know a little bit about it, so my first thought was, yes, you can treat them as capital gains. And I found out that the CPAs both agreed with me.
Really?
Yeah.
What would have
been
my intuition?
So the great thing about getting capital gains treatment on this money is that the top rate on capital gains is 23.8% and the lowest rate is zero, and it depends on your tax bracket. On ordinary income, you can be taxed at over 40% depending on your taxable income. So I don't think there is a tax bracket where capital gains are not lower than your ordinary income. So the rules for qualified dividends state that they must be a U.S. company, which this is. The investment must be held for 61 days before the dividend was paid, and then for 60 days after the dividend is paid. And Carlos meets all this criteria, so I don't see any reason he shouldn't receive the capital gains treatment.
And I hope he would do that one thing, check with his own tax preparer, CPA.
Exactly.
Or a tax attorney. But I'm glad that they don't try to treat those small business dividends for successful startups as a different entity.
I could not find any reason or any example of that not being the case.
Well, that's cool. All right. Well, a lot of you over the years have heard me rant and rave about things that just drive me nuts, either on radio stations or on the internet or whatever. And I've talked about this one before, but it's back. How many of you have seen the emails where you can piggyback off the Canadian Social Security system? Really, even if you've never worked in Canada, wow, free money from Canada.
Is there any other country I can get in on?
I'm not sure. But when I did this, it was a while back, maybe a year ago, I started talking about this. And I did a Google search on piggybacking off the Canadian Social Security system. It brought up 53,500 instant results. This week, I Googled exactly the same. It brought up 31,800,000 references to piggybacking off of the system. So here's the claim. Americans are now piggybacking off the Canadian Social Security system, which is healthy and growing, much unlike our domestic counterpart, but I digress. Canadians call their system Canada Pension Plan, CPP. It's essentially the same as our Social Security system. They have so much money that you can tap into the benefits, according to this little outfit down in South Florida, and it's legal, says the ads. Just a few forms to fill out. Of course, you've got to make a payment to the firm that's running the ad, and then some small payments into the system, and we're on the way to benefits galore. Cool. Way cool, right? Maybe not. If you are intrigued by this concept, the first thing I will say is, shame on you. And shame on them. First, you're not a Canadian. How would you feel if Canadians started crossing the borders and started taking payments out of our Social Security system when they've never lifted a finger and paid a dime into our Social Security system? Even if they were entitled to benefits the old-fashioned way by working more than 40 quarters and paying into the system all the while, why? You can't hold them back from that. But even if they were, they'd get something automatically. They're not piggybacking off of anything. That's called earning it, folks. Then what makes you think you are entitled to piggyback off of their system where you didn't pay anything in? There's a big controversy on a word. Sarah and I are really, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to say intellectual. I want to say nerdy, I think. We talk a lot about words and their meanings. The word entitlement is a real misused, misunderstood word in the English language. A lot of people use the word entitlement to describe Social Security benefits, and other people take exception to that. It is correct depending on how it is spelled. If you have a small e, it applies to Social Security, but if you have a capital E, it does not. Here is the definition. A small e entitlement means that you have fulfilled some obligation or hold a certain position which qualifies you for some benefit. Just that simple. You pay in, you're entitled to a benefit, small e. But when the capital E is added, it changes to a benefit that has no qualification other than basically being able to fog a mirror. Capital E, entitlement. Title 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, now whatever. You know, you've heard it all from D.C. Social Security is earned according to very strict rules, so it is correctly described as an entitlement with a small e. So here's some of the teasers you're going to hear. Americans are now legally piggybacking off the Canadian Social Security system and collecting extra monthly benefit checks from $400 to $4,700. Wrong. While you can stretch the meaning of the word piggyback to cover the situation, I suppose, I can't find any serious definition of that. What it is, somebody got a hold of the Canadian pension plan, Social Security system, a list of the stocks that they buy inside their system. They are dividend-paying stocks, and the dividends are left to accumulate. So if you pay money to this outfit, they will actually open an account, buy the same stocks, and then you reinvest your dividends and add money as you go, never once having paid into the Canadian system, never once having a penny in it, and never once getting a benefit out of it. All you do is get down the road and you collect your dividends. I hate this stuff, folks, and I will always bring it up. All right, we got to run. Happy 4th of July to everybody. Be safe out there. Be careful with the firecrackers. There's some real weirdos out there, as you know, at all times. So love it, but be safe and come back next week. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour.